Welcome to Just a Minute. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, those who tune in on Radio 4, on the internet, around the world, and, of course, but the most important of all, is to welcome to the show four talented, exciting, over-the-top, diverse, intelligent personalities who are going to show off their wit, their humour, their verbal ingenuity and dexterity as they try and speak on a subject that I give them, and they try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And would you now please welcome those four? Seated on my right is Paul Merton and Clement Freud. And seated on my left, it is Stephen Fry and Tim Rice. Please welcome all four of them. And sitting beside me is Janet Staplehurst, who will help me keep the score and blow a whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Mermaid Theatre in Puddle Dock near Blackfriars, down in the city of London, and we have a delightful London audience ready to cheer us on our way. As we begin the show this week with Clement Freud. Clement, the subject is stage presence. Talk on that subject if you can. 60 seconds, starting now.
I think boxes of chocolates, bunches of flowers, or simply going on stage towards the end of the performance and offering to the players, actors, or whoever is on, some gift at your personal expense.
What? Paul, you've challenged.
I challenged because Clement stopped, looked at me and said, what?
That's exactly what did happen. Yes. So he said, what? And, of course, he paused.
Yes.
So presuming that's what you're getting him for. Yes. But usually Clement winds the others up, but you managed to wind him up that time. And you've got the subject, because it's a correct challenge. You have 44 seconds. Stage presence starting now.
It's obvious those who have it and those that don't.
Stephen challenged.
Bless him. I mean, he almost challenged himself to...
It's so easy, however many times you play, you can still slip up on little simple things like that. But, Stephen, you've gone in first, a point to you, and the subject, stage presence, starting now.
It is indeed clear, those who have it, it's a strange charisma. It's some remarkable energy that seems to radiate from certain actors when they stand upon a stage. They give off this sense of themselves, which can really enliven an audience and make them feel part of a most special evening. They're focused on them. They can't look at anybody else. It's the one with the stage presence who holds them in their thrall. And try... Whoa!
It all fell apart.
You held that audience in your thrall. They were in awe. You had it all there in spades, and then suddenly you were carried away and paused. Tim, you challenge first.
I'm afraid there was a hesitation.
There was. And Tim, you tell us something about stage presence, and there are 11 seconds to go, starting now.
When I was very young, I wrote a play called Presence, and I was asked to stage it by my schoolmates. It was an extremely interesting story involving a goat, several candles, and a fire escape.
Whoever is speaking in this game, when the whistle goes, gains an extra point. And on this occasion, it was Tim Rice. So I don't need to tell you. I'm sure you worked it out. He's in the lead at the end of that round. Great. So he has the audience with him. One round gone. And Tim, it's your turn to begin. The subject is how to be irresistible to the opposite sex. Now, I don't know why that's been chosen for you, but it could apply to any of them up here, I'm sure. And we'd love you to talk on the subject starting now.
The secret of being irresistible to the opposite sex is to be strong and silent. Let me give you an example.
You got your laugh, but in just a minute it doesn't work.
What did I do wrong?
Silence is like a pause.
But...
Clement challenged first.
For so what?
You silence.
I wasn't hesitating. I was demonstrating my point.
I know, but
it was
just...
Where was the hesitation?
I don't have to explain to an intelligent man like you what I'm talking about. Ooh. You know exactly what I'm... Ooh.
Could you explain it to me?
It's difficult to keep your end up with these things like Yes, Paul, you were trying to
Could you
to
explain
say.
It to me?
All right.
But it's only hesitation if you start speaking again, isn't it?
No.
If you're hesitant, you're not sure what you're going to say next.
Hesitant.
But he wasn't hesitant. He knew what he was going to say next, and it was nothing.
There's a difference, Stephen. I'm reluctant to take issue with it, but there's a difference between being hesitant and hesitation. If you pause, you hesitate. He didn't carry
He's
on.
He's been doing this 38 years.
And I still have to explain the rules to people.
You'll have to explain it.
So anyway, we have fun
you
doing it, which
is
important.
You obviously must be technically right, otherwise the game would fall apart, wouldn't it?
No, I am correct in every sense.
No, you aren't.
Who buzzed? It was Clement. You buzzed, wasn't it, Clement?
Yeah. Yes, I buzzed.
So you've got... Hesitation, 53 seconds on how to be irresistible to the opposite sex, Clement, starting now.
Keeping one's trousers on at my sort of age is a very good way of being irresistible to the opposite sex. Else they might expect what they will not get. I think that's really all I have to say on this subject, but I could pause for a while and...
No. Sorry, Tim, you challenged.
Well, if that's all he has to say, clearly a period of silence was coming up. And I was getting my retaliation in first.
I know, but unfortunately he didn't hesitate. He went on. He said, that's all I really have to say, but he continued, which you can do in just a minute. Mm. Clement, you had an incorrect challenge. 36 seconds. How to be irresistible to the opposite sex, starting now.
Singing, I find, is...
Stephen challenged.
There's lots of eyes there. He said, I have nothing more to say. I think I have nothing more to say on the subject. Singing, I find lots of eyes.
You're quite right, Stephen. Three or four eyes. One we might let go, but no.
Desperately,
34
yes.
seconds.
Well, one, strictly speaking, wouldn't be repetition.
One repetition. Oh, they do try and get... Okay. Stephen, how to be irresistible to the opposite sex? 34 seconds to tell us, starting now.
Well, paradoxically, and I speak from bemused experience, the way to be irresistible to the opposite sex is to tell them that you're gay, and then they'll be all over you. It's one of life's strange oddities, a quirk and a caprice of existence, that the more unattainable you appear to be, the more desirable it seems that you are.
Clement challenged.
Two mores.
Two mores.
Oh, you're right.
More unattainable.
Yeah, it was a
more
rhetorical chiasmus.
Yes,
and,
right,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, Stephen, you put a thought in my mind. I must try that next time I'm I'll report back to you if I have any success. Right.
Because you've suffered from the reverse thing of telling people you're straight and men then instantly fall for you. But anyway, enough of that. Sorry.
I think you're being
Carry on.
Do you still see Simon?
I think we'll get on with just a minute. Clement, 17 seconds on how to be irresistible to the opposite sex, starting now.
Telling them you're a eunuch is also quite in many ways...
poor challenge.
Is that because anything after that is a bonus? Hesitation.
It takes a lot of balls to tell someone you're a eunuch.
Almost deserves a bonus point, doesn't it? Give him one. Go on. Paul, we're going to hear from you on it now. 11 seconds, how to be irresistible to the opposite sex, starting now.
You look suave, you walk into the nearest...
Clement challenged.
Two U's.
Two U's. You look smart,
that's,
you walk into
w,
the nearest...
That's a different letter, two U's. W.
You did say, you look suave, you walk into the nearest whatever it
yes,
was.
Yes,
and he came in. Clement listened well. 9 seconds, how to be irresistible to the opposite sex, Clement, starting now.
I would look suave and walk into somebody's room, exuding the sort of personality which...
And Paul challenged.
You haven't exuded personality since... 1978!
Outrageous.
I've been doing this show 22 years. I still think we'd be better off with a glove puppet.
Can you believe you dared say that to a knight of the realm?
I know. Right.
Take like a bonus point for injury.
I'm going to give Paul a bonus point for bravery, actually. But 2 seconds on how to be irresistible to the opposite sex, Clement, starting now.
Opposite is exactly the sex.
So, Clement Freud, speaking, it was the whistle when got the bonus point and also others in the round. He's now in the lead. He's three ahead of Paul Merton and Stephen Fry and four ahead of Ted Rice. And Stephen, it's your turn to begin. The subject now is Cloud Nine. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
Ooh, Cloud Nine, Cloud Nine. That's a very interesting one.
Yeah? Cloud Nine, Cloud Nine.
No, ooh. I thought ooh was definite hesitation. It's a kind of...
No, it was ooh. It was, I was cooing at it. I was interested by it.
Fine.
Honestly, I was very... It's just, ooh, that's interesting. It wasn't like, I didn't know what to say.
It's a kind of posh
It's a camp exclamation. Ooh, that's interesting.
I think it was enjoyment.
It was enjoyment, thank you.
Pleasure. Yeah. You had pleasure from the subject, but you were communicating to the audience. So, unfortunately, Tim, an incorrect challenge. Stephen has another point. He has Cloud 9 and 58 seconds starting now.
It's used to mean a kind of euphoria, enjoyment, elation, pleasure, sense of Vedic happiness. The prevalence of the word is recent. Some believe it started in the 1930s as a phrase...
Tim challenged.
31.
It's two words. It's two words. Cloud nine.
Yes.
That's right, yes.
And you said the prevalence of the word.
Yeah. And the nine was the word I was about to refer to.
Well, that was not clear.
No, it was
you did actually say the prevalence of the word, and he's got two words on the card.
Yeah.
I think he's trying very hard.
Fair enough. Okay. No, absolutely, he's right.
The benefit of the doubt. Yep. So, Tim, you have 44 seconds to tell us something about Cloud Nine starting now.
Whenever I hear the word cloud nine, I think, whatever happened to cloud one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, and eight? Why should cloud nine be the cloud that gives one that special thrill?
Stephen challenged.
Gives one, and he wondered what happens to cloud one.
Yes. It's a tough game, especially when you've got clever listeners. Right, 30 seconds on Cloud 9. Back with you, Stephen, starting now.
I can tell, Tim, what happened to the first eight clouds. There are different levels, according to the American Meteorological Society, and the ninth is the highest, hence it represents the best state of being and the most happy condition in which one can be. Others contend that it's a Buddhist phrase. There are 10 levels of consciousness to which...
And Tim challenge.
Two levels.
Two levels.
The highest level and then levels.
Levels, yes.
So one was singular, one was plural. Plural. Yeah.
Stephen, well played. 10 or 12 seconds still available. Cloud 9 starting now.
This acme of strata, which our Eastern religious friends maintain, gives one a sense of perfection and joy.
Poor challenge.
I think we've had sense before.
I must have
before.
Had sense,
had
yeah.
Sense before,
I was
yes.
certainly, yeah.
You
yeah.
did indeed.
We right. had sense earlier, didn't we?
Yes. Yeah. Sense, yes. Yeah. First time you started, you talked about that. Sense of this and another sense of that. Yeah. So, Paul, you've got in with 5 seconds to go on Cloud 9 starting now.
I'm thrilled to hear there's 10 levels of consciousness. That means there's only another 9 to go. How wonderful!
So Paul Merton speaking as the whistle went, gained the extra point. He's now one behind our joint leader Stephen Fry and Clement Freud. And also, Paul, it's your turn to begin. And the subject is looking in the mirror. Tell us something about that subject in this game starting now.
I'm not a great one for looking in the mirror, except when it's absolutely essential, such as shaving. Looking in the mirror gives us the illusion that we're looking at ourselves as others see us, but I don't know if that's true, because we carry so much baggage, don't we, when we look at our own form there in the mirror and think to ourselves, oh, God, why am I so attractive to the opposite sex? Is it because I don't ever think that, actually. I just look there and think, well, maybe in a few years' time I'll...
Tim challenge.
Two thinks.
Yeah.
That's right, yes. Yeah, there were two looks as well, but they didn't get them on that one. Right, there were 34 seconds for you, Tim, on looking in the mirror starting now.
Looking in the mirror is a pretty ghastly experience the older you get. It becomes an absolute piece of agony to face that grisly visage every morning. You know the time is marching on. There will be new wrinkles and furrows that were not there yesterday, or indeed the day before. All this comes through looking in the mirror. And the answer? Don't look in the mirror. I have discovered, unfortunately, as Paul mentioned, it is easier to shave when you are looking in the mirror. The only possible alternative to this is to do it...
Yeah. So, Tim Rice speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, and now we've got an interesting and very fair situation because they're all more or less level pegging. Tim Rice and Paul Merton are equal, 1 point behind Clement Freud and Stephen Fry. Mm. What an even contest, but evenly balanced in wit and humour. As Clement, we turn to you to take the next round, and the subject is CCTV. Talk on CCTV, starting now.
This is an acronym for closed-circuit television, and if one repeated the letters therein, you would be buzzed by somebody, possibly Paul or Stephen.
Tim challenged.
Well, you wouldn't, because they're in the title.
That's right. They wouldn't be buzzed unless it was a mistake, because they're in the title. You can repeat what's on the title.
And you really shouldn't repeat the word "or" like that. That's very naughty as well. Very naughty. I'll tell sir if you do that again.
Correct challenge, Tim. CCTV is with you, and 49 seconds available starting now.
I'm very indebted to Clement for telling me what CCTV...
Clement challenge.
Repetition of C.
It's on the card, Clement.
It's repetition.
CCTV, you're repeating C?
Yeah.
But it's a,
you did.
It's on the card, CCTV.
That's why I didn't repeat the title.
But Clement, you've been playing the game.
I've been playing this game for a very long time.
But he's proved himself right, you see. The thing is, Nicholas, you're in a paradox now. You're in a kind of weird time loop. He's proved himself right because he said if someone said the word on the card, they'd get buzzed. And you gave Tim a point.
Yes.
Because you said, no one would buzz. But he has buzzed, so he was right. So you have to give it back to him.
You know you're absolutely
right. Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? It's like a
bit of a paradox, yes. Because what I really meant was that they wouldn't buzz because
what
would
you meant is no sane man would buzz. But you see,
And no person who plays the game regularly. But if you've got the involuted and convoluted mind of Clement Freud, you pick up these things.
Yeah. We can't start having insanity as a challenge. We never get through a round.
No. Convoluted challenges, paradoxes. Thank God we've got someone here to explain them to us. Clement, yes, you are correct, actually. So you have
Nicholas, can I just get this straight?
Yes, you can get straight.
I said the phrase on the title, CCTV, and I was had up for repeating C, even though it's on the title.
That's right.
No, but what happened... No, it's so much more complicated and interesting than that, is what's happened. He's reversed...
Complicated, yes.
Yeah, because
interesting, no.
You won the challenge... You won the challenge by saying, he said someone will buzz if I said CCTV, and you said no, they wouldn't. But he did when you said CCTV, so he was right.
So he was right. So
you
Clement,
see what I mean?
He
wasn't right at the time.
He wasn't at the time.
No,
but he is
listen,
now.
You two. Listen.
Whoa. It's fantastic.
Can I just ask, what level of consciousness are we at the moment?
Easily resolve this matter. Clement Freud, because of the logic of his challenge, gains a bonus point because it was technically correct but not within the rules of the game. But wait a minute. But he did. You're allowed to repeat C because C, it's on the card. So it was an incorrect challenge for you. You get a point for an incorrect challenge. You keep the subject of CCTV and you have 45 seconds available, starting now.
The County Council of Transylvania has been going since 1864. It is an august body, so-called...
Paul challenge.
Well, Transylvania isn't a county, so I don't know how there could be a Transylvanian County Council. I think that's deviation. That's like having a Brazil street.
No. Transylvania was a country.
I live in Brazil Street.
Do you?
So, Paul, yes, you take over the subject now with a point. 38 seconds on CCTV starting now.
When I see CCTV, I always do about 20 minutes because I think to myself, I love this.
Stephen Chan.
That's four eyes.
You have the subject, Stephen. 29 seconds, CCTV starting now.
Cute, chic, transvestites, I suppose it could stand for. But as Clement told us, it really is an acronym for closed-circuit television. It's the bane of our modern life in cities. You can't so much as pick your nose in a mall without being observed by somebody in a security suit who will probably tell your loved ones what you've been up to.
Clement Challenge.
Three U's.
Three U's.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Good point. I deserved that, frankly. Yeah. I'm start picking up on letters.
I know, right. So, Clement, you've gone in on three U's and you have 9 seconds. CCTV starting now.
I learned the other day that SKI is not gliding across the snow, but spins.
Tim Challenge. Well,
deviations. Got absolutely. He's got 9 seconds to make a point. Mm-hmm. And he's wasted 8 of them talking about something.
You wasted different. One of them buzzing me.
I wish I'd wasted
still,
more
I still,
of
if he, I think if he doesn't establish it in 7 seconds, we would, have to give you the benefit of the doubt.
I would say so, Nicholas.
Tim, you had it back with 3 seconds to go.
3 seconds?
3 seconds to go.
So I only did it for 6 seconds. Oh, I think you can allow it for 6 seconds.
So it doesn't register half seconds, so, all right, I should say 5.5 seconds. Sorry, 2.5 seconds, starting now.
I'm not clear how long I have to go on about this subject, but I would like to say...
Very stressful performance of just a minute. And it's still equal. It's all equal pegging here as you're moving there. I continue. Clement Freud, Tim Rice and Paul Merton are all now equal in second place. 2 points behind Stephen Fry, who has got 10 points, and he takes the next round. Stephen, digital radio. Tell us something about that very topical subject, starting now.
Digital audio broadcasting, DAB it's sometimes called. Sounds like someone farting in a bath, if you ask me. You get this most peculiar kind of interference, bubbly noise, and it isn't all it's cracked up to be. Rather like CDs when they came out. Do you remember there was this idea that you were supposed to be able to toast them and throw them across the room? Just bringing them out of their case ruined them forever. Digital radio seems to me to have offered a great deal and delivered very little. Thus far.
Paul Challenge.
I disagree with this. I think digital radio is fantastic.
I said it seems to me. I wasn't claiming it as a fact.
I would agree with you, Paul. Yeah, the point is that he's entitled to his opinion.
That's true. Yeah.
And in his opinion, he was saying he seemed to him that it hadn't achieved very much so far.
Yes.
And, so it's a debate.
It's a debate. So, again, you have the benefit of the doubt. You have digital radio still, Stephen, and 33 seconds starting now.
I speak as one who lives in the county of Norfolk, where coverage is not all that it should be, Paul Merton, and perhaps this has somehow informed my view of this new style of transmissive journalism and entertainment that we call digital radio. The B repeat letter C, our esteemed auntie, has many channels these days. It is clearly the technology of the future. There is no question this is going to dominate our lives when we listen to...
Clement Challenge.
Not my life. No.
Well said, Clement. You get a bonus point for your interruption, your interjection. Stephen still creeps the subject, and no points there. That's 4 seconds on digital radio, Stephen, starting now.
Some kind of radiation from the fingers would be called digital radio, because that's what it is.
Right. Oh, I've just been told we're moving into the last round. Let me give you the situation. Paul Merton, who's often out in the lead, he's in... second place alongside Tim Rice and Clement Freud. It's a very even contest, but just out in the lead is Stephen Fry as we move into the final round. And the subject is scraping the barrel. Well, no.
Yeah, but what's the subject?
Paul, it's your turn to begin, so take scraping the barrel 60 seconds starting now.
Scraping the barrel does have a rather negative connotation, but I don't think that should be right. Think of it positively. You've got all this great stuff in the barrel and you've got to scrape out just to get the last remnants of this gorgeous entity, whatever it is. A barrel full of magnificent quality gorgeousness is...
Clement Challenge.
Gorgeous.
Gorgeousness, he said.
Gorgeousness.
I didn't... Yeah. I pressed my buzzer before the NIST.
Well, I pressed my buzzer before I left the house. I mean, where'd you go with that?
No, I like gorgeousness. It's almost
a word, isn't it?
Almost a word, yes.
Almost a word, isn't it?
A real-like word. I love gorgeousness, yes. I love created words, and we even have that one, Paul. And you have the scraping the barrel, 44 seconds, starting now.
It belongs to an old tradition in the Royal Navy when the men of that particular branch of service would import lard from various parts of the world and bring them back to this wonderful country. Queen Victoria was rather superstitious and liked to cover herself in this noxious substance while walking through Hyde Park in the morning. She was a most extraordinary monarch, only 3 inches tall, but luckily nobody ever let on. What a wonderful woman. Her head on the stamp was actually real size.
Tim Challenge.
Two wonderfuls.
Yes, yeah. And two women as well, but...
Oh, well.
Yeah. Tim, you've got in with 18 seconds to go. Scraping the barrel starting now.
Scraping the barrel has been beautifully explained by Paul Merton. I feel it almost impossible to add to his magnificent explanation as to how this expression came into our natural...
Paul Challenge.
Well, it was a hesitation.
It was a hesitation.
So was, I'm afraid, yes. Again.
And, Paul, you've got 8 seconds. Tell us more about scraping the barrel starting now.
If you go to any pub in the East End of London, one with a certain provenance, and go up to the landlord and say, I would like to see your barrel...
Stephen Challenge.
Well, two goes. If you go into any pub and go up to the
yes.
landlord.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Pub and you go up to the landlord.
Oh,
yes.
I'm sorry. I feel cruel. I feel vicious. I feel...
Don't
feel. Actually, yeah. I tell you how vicious you were. You've got in with half a second to go.
Oh, Paul. Can I ever apologise enough?
Hang on a minute. I thought you said your watch didn't do half seconds. So either I've got to the end or there's a second to go.
You've got a good point there, Paul.
Haven't
yes,
I just?
Yes. Yeah. Haven't you? All I can say is the watch says zero.
Yes.
But Janet hadn't blown her whistle. Phew. So she was working Saka. On the half second business.
Saka! She knew the rules when she joined.
So as the whistle hasn't gone, the benefit of the doubt has to go to Stephen.
Yeah. It's not Janet. Gonna,
what's that?
Janet will have to go.
She can finish the subject if you like. Half a second to go on scraping the barrel. After you, Janet, starting now.
Scraping the barrel of the whistle.
That last challenge wouldn't have made any difference to the result because Stephen would have got an extra point for speaking. The whistle went and actually increased his lead. And let me tell you the final situation because it's very fair. And Clement Freud and Tim Rice... both came equal in third place, and with a lot of points, they did extraordinarily well. And Paul Merton, who often is brilliantly well, came in second place, and he was superb as usual. But just ahead of him in first place was Stephen Fry. So once again, Stephen, you are our winner this week.
Thank you.
So it only remains for me to say thank you. These four outstanding players of the game, Paul Merton, Stephen Fry, Tim Rice, and Clement Freud. I also thank Janet Staplehurst, who's helped me with the score keeping and blowing the whistle when the 60 seconds was up. We thank our producer, who is Claire Jones. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. And we are deeply grateful to this lovely audience here at the Mermaid Theatre and Puddle Dock, who've cheered us on our way. You've been lovely. We've enjoyed being here. Thank you from the audience, from me, Nicholas Parsons, and the panel. Goodbye. Tune in the next time we play Just a Minute. Yeah.